an A&E original podcast.
You know what? You know who I got recently?
Harry Styles. I saw your Instagram story, but let me tell you, Harry has been that boy for a long time.
I didn't see it. Harry is fine.
Harry got moves. Harry got vocals. Harry got swag. This is a Harry Styles fan account now. Okay?
You know what? I supported him from afar, and then I saw his performance. I was like, you're kind of like not my fine, but you're like a wave in the wind, like a windy girl fine. I was like, I get you.
He got you on that watermelon sugar high, huh?
Yes.
Hey everyone, welcome to The Table Is Ours, a podcast where we celebrate, highlight, and discuss issues affecting the Black community with our Black faves. From Black motherhood to mental health and trailblazing, we cover all the themes. With me today is my favorite co-host, Amira Lawali. If Amira were a rom-com, she would be Always Be My Maybe, because it's all my favorite things wrapped up in one. Comedy, good food, and directed by a woman. Shout out to feminism.
Ooh, I love that. And this is Kirby Dixon, my favorite co-host. If Kirby was a rom-com, she'd be Love Jones.
Hey.
Because she is classic, a little New York swag to her, and she's very artsy.
You better speak on it. And, you know, each week I have to ask, girl, how are you?
I'm good, because you got me thinking about my favorite rom-coms again.
Yes. What's your favorite?
So last night I actually made my boyfriend rewatch for the 10th time. Someone Great on Netflix.
Okay.
I love that movie because it's not like a relationship rom-com. It's like a friendship rom-com. And those are like, friendship is like your true heart.
Okay.
And I think when it first came out, I was going through a bad friendship breakup. So I just, that movie's so good. It's so funny.
Can we talk about that though? Friendship breakups are worse than romantic breakups.
Oh, it's 10 times worse. Oh, it's way worse. And it lingers longer.
Yeah. Okay. I've never watched that, but it's on my to-do list.
Oh, it's so good.
I think mine would have to be Something New with Sanaa Lathan.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. I mean, I love it because it reminds me one of my aunt who was like obsessed with her love interest in the film. And now I love him too as a result. But I just love Sanaa Lathan. Anything she's leading in, you got me hooked from the jump. So I think that's my favorite rom-com.
Yeah. I love rom-coms because they just like make you feel good. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we all deserve right now. Like, I just want to laugh every night. And yes. I want to like feel good. Like, I don't want to overthink things. I want it to be like natural.
They're so good. Can I also just say, I love love. Like, I love love to the point where all of my shows outside of rom-coms are love shows. It's so bad. Like, The Bachelor, Married at First Sight,
Love After Lockup,
Island, Love After Lockup. If you name it, I'm probably watching it. So when people ask me what my favorite show is, I was like, I don't really know. I can't tell you because I'm not watching anything like of substance, but
yeah,
I am watching the love shows.
And you know who was surprisingly a huge rom-com fan? Our guest this week.
Yes, shout out to Lil Rel.
And you know Lil Rel from Uncle Drew. You know him from the Carmichael Show, and he's your favorite TSA agent in Get Out.
Yes, keep the T away from him, sis. We talked to him about how he got his start in comedy, being a girl dad, his incredible relationship with the Miss Tina Knowles Lawson, and we talked to him about his new film out now on Netflix called Bad Trip.
Lil Rel, let's get it.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Okay, it is so, so nice to speak with you.
What up?
We actually start every episode with the same question because it's been such a trying year. It's been a hard year, but everyone's just kind of like pushing through it. But our first question is, how are you? How are you really?
I am doing very well. I'm very grateful and blessed to still be able to work in this environment. My babies are healthy. Life is good. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a lot, probably the happiest I've been in a long time. Like, I'm really happy, which is, you know, I know it's tough times, but I feel like it's brought everybody together too, in a way that's interesting. That's what I like too. I like that. I think we're all loving on each other more because of what the world became, especially Black people, you know, after the interracial, whatever they call it. It's like, hey man, we ain't got to participate in all that yet. So yeah, I'm doing great.
So we both love you from Get Out, from the Carmichael Show, me personally.
Yes.
But I feel like I've never learned your like secret origin story. Like, how did you get here? Like, how did you go from Milton to Little Rel? Can you walk us through that?
Well, Little Rel was a nickname that I got in high school. So, and it's from basketball. I made the Frostsoft team. One of the seniors that was the captain of the varsity team saw me. And he's like, yo, who is that? He's like, oh, that's Darrell cousin. He's like, oh, what's up, Little Rel? I'm like, no, my name is Milton. He's like, nah, it's Little Rel. I'm like, nah. And that's actually Lewis Johnson. I always give him props because he gave me the nickname Little Rel, and it took his own personality. And that's where I've been since then.
Is that how you introduce yourself? Do you introduce yourself as Lil Rel or do you say Milton?
No, Lil Rel. No, nobody calls me. Nobody in my family. Because that's another thing too. My dad and my grandfather name is Milton. So like a nickname was going to happen. I've always had like a nickname.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you kind of walk us through your comedy journey? Like, how did you get into comedy? What pushed you there?
I love stand-up comedy. Eddie Murphy is you know, when I saw Delirious for the first time in like years, I was a kid. I wasn't even supposed to be watching it.
That's always the case.
It's always the case. Like, that's what I'm going to do then. I'm going to just talk crazy. No, but no, Eddie Murphy is the kickoff to all of this. And Living Color and Saturday Night Live. And it's like, you know, watching Robert Townsend, watching Martin, and then just falling in love with the old sitcoms. Like, I'm a TV and film nerd, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I watched everything. And at some point, I wrote a show called, this would be a show NBC called Name Your Adventure that Mario Lopez hosted. And I actually wrote the show to meet Kenny and Ivory Wayans. And then they like, wow. And he sent me a letter back, like, sorry, they canceled the show. So, damn. Like, so yeah, I've always known I wanted to do this. So right after high school, I jumped right into comedy, stand up. Yep.
That's awesome.
I admire knowing at an early age, like what direction you wanted to go into. Cause I was a mess. Was there a turning point for you where you realized it wasn't just something you loved, but it was like, this is going to be my career. Like, this is going to like what I'm going to do for life. And this is how I'm going to change people's lives. Like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah. When did you know you could make money off of comedy?
That's it.
Well, it's funny you say that. It was my 21st birthday. And D. Ray Davis, shout out to D. Ray, gave me my first $100, right? Mm-hmm. Like randomly too, because I was supposed to get paid for the show. He let me perform. And I don't know if he felt bad because he was making, like, now that I noticed, we talked about it, like, bro, he was making a ton of money. So you giving me $100 really wasn't nothing. but he gave me $100, but I was like, whoa, $100 for just doing what I love.
Yeah.
I didn't work a regular job. I haven't worked just 9 to 5 since I was 20, you know, so this is everything I've ever earned, done. It wasn't no plan B. This is it.
Yeah. Well, I'm totally going to just jump in here and I'm going to call my girl Amira out. So Amira actually does stand-up comedy on the side as well. So I've kind of gotten a little bit of a peek into her comedic writing process, and I've learned about this entire mantra of like hiding the broccoli, right? So like, finding the beauty in the pain. And I was recently watching a roundtable with you and other entertainers and comedians like Cedric the Entertainer, where you guys were discussing this idea of like striking a balance between being insightful and being hilarious in comedy, which I feel like is a responsibility that seems to weigh more heavily on Black creatives, especially with the year that we just went through. So my question is, how do you personally strike that balance between being super insightful and intentional in your sets, but also being hilarious as a comedian and as an actor?
A great question. I mean, I just recorded a comedy album a couple weeks ago, which I can't wait for everybody to listen to it. I think it's just being honest. Like, I like to talk about a lot of things. So, you know, not just my personal life, but everything that's going on. So like, that was the first time me even going on stage since last year. So I recorded a whole album. and did an hour. Like, I didn't know what I was going to talk about. It was just really me getting stuff off my chest. And I was just listening to it yesterday because I'm giving notes and stuff. And I'm just like, dang, that was really honest. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of really honest stuff. But I think it's just, it's who you are as a person. You can't make yourself be something you're not, right? Because you got some people who are just silly and that's all they don't want to, like, but I'm a person that loves to talk about everything. And I think as I rise in this game and as I put out more stuff, and that's what I think this, like, the album might be my best set that I've ever done. And I've done a lot of dope things, but, you know, some of my friends that were there that night, they were like, man, dude, you just look free. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, that's where you, like, you know, when you see the greats kind of walk into this freedom of just like, man, I don't really care what y'all think. This is what I want to say. I mean, when you get to that point, I think that's where you become your best, when you're not trying to please and do all this stuff. So this might be my best work because I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about protests. I'm going there. Like, and it's really funny and it's really honest. So I think it's just you being yourself. If that's who you are, just be honest. Honesty is the best, the greatest thing. Like, you know, when you see Richard Pryor is a great example of, you know, when he came into his own, when he first started, he literally was doing Bill Cosby because Bill Cosby was a man. So Richard was literally mimicking Bill Cosby. And then one day decided to be honest and it became a whole nother, he became a great because of that. Mm-hmm. He was good. But once he just decided to be living his own honesty, man, he became this brilliant, great person. That's why, like, Eddie Murphy is the greatest to ever do it to me, right?
Yeah,
because he was young and like when you think about it, the brother was 21 when he did Delirious.
I know.
Yeah.
How?
It's so crazy because I feel like you're touching on this idea of, like, when you're young, you just go there. You don't have a filter. You're willing to just push the boundaries. And then as you get older, you're like, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I feel like that's kind of what you're touching on. But do you feel like Black comedians in particular are unfairly asked to take on the burden of talking about race in comedy? Or, like, can our white counterparts also talk about race in comedy without being canceled or ridiculed for their sets?
Well, that's the thing about it. Just in general, right? And Black artists talk about this all the time. Black people, we have to represent all of us all the time anyway, right? First of all, right? That's a whole thing. That's a real... But I remember having my own show and one of the most stressful things when I had my show was trying to figure out how to please us. And I'm like, fam, you know, it's hard to do that, man. Like, cause everybody different. Everybody always gonna have something to say. That's why at some point you really got to just do it for yourself. But I do feel like, you know, and look, white people just have a freedom to just do whatever they want anyway. So, like,
exactly. They can literally talk about the weather. We have to talk about pain and love and everything, or we're not doing it right. It's too much.
Well, we were restricted. I mean, I was watching Bernie Mac's documentary for no reason. I was just watching it, his biography. And he went through the same thing I did. So it's a comedy club in Chicago. And they used to, like, the Black comics, they would ask us not to do certain stuff. We couldn't curse. We couldn't talk about this and that. But the white comics on the same show can say whatever they wanted to. And I had a problem with that, right? And I remember, like, checking the manager at the time about it. And I decided one night to do what I wanted to do. I'll never forget. I ripped it too, put my coat on, and left. I'm like, I'm never playing this club again but I didn't like that.
Good for you. Yeah.
Because I'm like, yeah, y'all letting them do what they want? Like, come on, fam. Oh, yeah, I won't play this club again, but tonight I'm about to kill and I'm going to leave and go have a good time. So kiss my butt.
Proud of you.
I love that. That's so free.
It was real free. I put like Frank Lucas, guy have a little fur coat on. It was cold outside. I put that coat on. I was like, walked out like, that's my time. I'm gonna get my coat left.
And you better know your worth.
I'm gonna never play this club again. I don't care.
We're asking a lot of questions about comedy just because we love your stand-up. Yeah. Something that's often debated in comedy as well is, like, how far is too far? Like, are any topics off limits? To me, comedy is meant to entertain, but also to make light of really complicated, sometimes tragic situations and scenarios, right? So you mentioned Richard Pryor, perfect example. We see it with Dave Chappelle, Eddie Murphy, all of these greats. Do you think personally that there are any boundaries that shouldn't be crossed in comedy, or are there topics that are kind of just, we can't go there anymore?
Well, you know, for me, and I could just only go with me, I don't like the shock comic that just saying stuff just to say stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I think, you know, being mean and just it's just weird. Like, I don't think that's cool, right? You know, so I do think it's things that shouldn't be talked about, you know what I mean? You know, unless it personally happens to you, right? That's why, like,
yes,
I'm not huge in, like, talking about somebody else's business, you know what I'm saying? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, that ain't my thing. But I do think it is things that's, to me, that's, you know, that I just don't think we should talk about. I just, some things are just mean. Like, what's the point of it mean? Like, that's why, look, me, I've never been an angry, mean comic. I don't want to do that. Like, I think that's insane to be like that. So that's an unhappy person. And I don't, which is why I'm glad that a lot of the shock stuff has went away. You know what I mean? Yes. What's the point? You know, like, laughter is supposed to be medicine. It's not supposed to be, but then also too, you know, I think people have to be open too, to what comedy does. I think now, because nowadays people are a lot more sensitive. And like, please, you can't say that because this community, like, but I'm like, fam, if I talk about everybody, including myself, it is what it is. Don't take it like that. I think joking about each other brings us together, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Comedy does heal. I mean, there's a reason why, if we're having bad days, Amir and I just went through this. Like, we're watching rom-coms at the end of the day. Like, that's what we want to push through.
I love a corny sitcom.
Yes.
I love a good rom-com. I'm a, like, yes. I'm a Hallmark Channel subscriber. I watch rom-com.
What is it about rom-coms that you love so much?
I like the sweetness of, I mean, I like, you know what I mean? I don't want to sound corny, but like, I like love. I like seeing people fall in love and the beauty of that. It's just something, even if you know what's going to happen. Like, I like watching something. I know exactly how this is going to end.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But yet I still enjoy watching them come together and figure everything out.
I love that.
What's your favorite rom-com?
That's a great question. My favorite one is Fever Pitch. Fever Pitch is probably, and Boomerang are my two favorite. Fever Pitch is the one.
Boomerang.
Jimmy Fallon is one of my favorite. Especially, I'm a baseball fan too, so it ties all that in. It's a really sweet movie. Definitely, maybe it's not necessarily a rom-com, but it's a beautiful, one of my favorite movies. So that's why, like, when I did the movie, Ryan Reynolds is one of my favorite actors. So, like, when I did Free Guy with him, he would not understand that. Like, bro, you don't understand. Like, I'm a huge fan. He's like, yeah, okay, real. I'm like, no, I'm not lying. So I'm actually nervous actually doing the movie.
I think that, like, as crazy as this year is, like, I refuse to watch, like, terrifying things at night, so I'm only watching comedies. I'm only watching rom-coms. Like, end of my day, I want to smile and laugh, and I think that's what we all deserve.
I'm with you, Amir, even though I still watch dramas. My bad.
So, we read that you lost your mom.
Yeah.
And we send out condolences. Grief is very hard. And personally, I lost my dad when I was really young. So I was reflecting on that prepping for this interview, and I think when I was going through my grieving process originally, I learned two lessons. One, grief is everlasting. I feel like everyone, when you lose someone, they're like, oh, you'll be fine. Like, it doesn't bounce back. Like, the pain lasts forever. Mm-hmm. You just carry it differently.
Yeah.
And two, losing a parent is a different kind of grief. Like, it's different. I don't know how to explain it to people who haven't lost a parent. It's just, there's something about, like, the person who raised you, who wants to see you win, not seeing you win, and not getting to celebrate those wins with them, that just hurts differently. And I kind of want to ask you about your grieving process. Like, how are you doing it? Like, how did you handle grief kind of publicly, or was it a very private matter for you?
Well, it's interesting because it was 2009 when my mom passed. So, like, you know, at the time it was tough. I don't think I dealt with it well, honestly, because it was so much pain.
Yeah.
That I wanted to feel pain. So I was like angry. I'm a man of faith. So like, that's how I bounced back. I truly leaned on God. You know, I had a moment just praying one day and like my mom really visited me and we just had a real conversation. I ended up putting that on an episode of Real. It's based off that. Mm-hmm. So like the episode I have where I sit down and dying and I'm talking to her is literally based off what really happened. And just whatever we talked about, it just felt like it was a weight lifted off my shoulders. And from that point on, it just, you know, it's not easy. Like you said, you don't ever, it's no recovery from that. You're going to miss it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I have my moments though. And I have my mom almost said, like, it's just some days, I think I was talking about it in an interview that maybe a couple of days ago, like it is some days and moments, like if I'm doing her on stage that I'll stop in the middle of doing it and just people laughing and then but I'll stop because I'm like, damn, I really miss her.
Oh my God.
Or like these moments, I have these great moments that happen. And that's like, damn, that's what I wish was here. I wish I could have do this for her. This is what I really wanted to, you know, but you know, it, but I've, it's a blessing that I had somebody rooting for me. So that's how I look at it. Like, yeah. I just constantly think about making her proud. And but it's life, you know, and I have children too. So like everybody's gonna have to deal with it. That's how I look at death in general now. My mom prepared me for how I just take in death in general. It's like, it's gonna happen. It's just, it is what it is. Like, it's literally it's nothing we can run away from.
Yeah.
All you could do is just keep those people you love, just their memories, and just, my mom was so dope. So that's all I think. I think about her and I smile all the time, which is why, like, when I do on stage, it's really just paying homage to her.
Yeah,
it's beautiful. You kind of touch on your kids a little bit, and that makes me wonder, after your loss of your mom, did that change the way that you want to raise the next generation of women?
No, I mean, what I try to do is take a page from her book. She did such a great job with, like, you know, just, she was just dope, man. Like, you know, I remember going to a private school and it was tough, and I was 12 and I was having a hard time, and she saw it. And so then we started going to like the Bennigan's on Friday, just me and her. And she would just sit there and let me vent, like, talk about my sixth grade problems. You know what I mean? She just let me talk to her. And so I've taken a lot of the stuff she's done with me and implemented that into the way I raise my babies. You know what I'm saying? As far as just one of the greatest things she ever taught me was just opening up, just being open. And I'm an open book. I'm not like, I can't talk about nothing. No, I'm like, no, we got to talk. You know what I mean? Which is interesting too. Like, I think about, like, you know, women I date, it's like, I can't deal with somebody that doesn't know how to, like, express themselves for real.
Yeah.
I like, that's the way we got to, like, people say, we got to communicate, but like, do you truly know how to do that though?
Yeah.
But like, you know, it is hard, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm very open. I'd rather talk about things, you know, and that's one of the things I got from her, is just being straight up and being myself. I was a really confident, nerdy kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, very, like, the way I look now, I thought I always looked like this. Like, yeah, I got a beard and glasses. I look like how I thought I was gonna look as a kid. I'm like, when I get older, I'm gonna get some glasses, I'm gonna have a beard. I look exactly how I wanted to look. It might sound crazy. I look exactly how I imagined I would look as an adult.
That is that positive self-talk that we're always trying to tell ourselves.
I know. I need to be on that level.
Yes. Okay. Moving forward, advice from Lil Rel. We got it. That positive self-talk is going to be strong. So you touched on, obviously, your kids. And after the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant, there was this increased, like, pride in use of the terminology of being a girl dad. And we know that you are also a girl dad. And you've mentioned in previous interviews that the father-daughter relationship is quite possibly the closest thing you can get to kind of a mother's love, which, to be completely honest, like, what a beautiful way to think about it. It kind of, like, stopped me in my tracks when you said that.
Yeah.
But every relationship, we all know, whether romantic or familial, has its bumps in the road. So I want to ask, like, what were some of the learning curves you experienced as you embraced the role of being a father to a beautiful Black daughter?
I mean, look, well, I got one daughter, I got two sons, and this is the thing about it, just being a dad in general, like, so I always wanted those dudes that always wanted a daughter, just because, this don't sound crazy, but all the females I dated that was, like, really close to their father, I always thought that was a cool relationship. The ones, like, really.
It is cool.
It's a cool thing. And so I'm like, I can't wait to have a daughter. And, you know, Brittany turned out exactly how I thought a daughter would be. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, like, she's sweet. She's funny. She's had these moments where she do, like, random stuff. Like, well, I'm like, oh, God, don't do this to me. But now, like, I love the fact that somebody, I think I'm understanding women more because of her. You know, it's thing, like, I talk about it in my last thing, but, like, you know, her going through her time when she started, you know, the friend shows up.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy? I mean, look, I've dated plenty of women, I've been around, but I never understood what that felt like. I didn't realize how embarrassing it can be, all that stuff. And with her going through all that, those different things, I started like, wow, I didn't realize that could be
stressful.
It is so stressful.
I can say I had a great relationship with my dad growing up. I still do, but I am petrified to bring anyone around him still. I'm like, oh my God, like, please don't embarrass me. Please don't ask him too many questions.
See, but I love that though. Like, I actually respect that. You know what I'm saying? Like, because, you know, once again, but that depends on what type of man you are. I'm one of those dudes, I want to talk to the dad. Like, I respect it. Like, hey, brother, hey, what's up? What you want to ask me, brother? You know what I mean? Like, so, like, that's because of the way I look at parenting, right? And then, like, even just raising sons, which is, you know, and this is the way the world is now, that's even even harder, right? Because you're like, you're always scared, which is right in that thing. But, you know, my son being a TV and film nerd too, Judah, you know, my oldest, he started out as a mama's boy because most boys are, that's what it is. Most boys
do, yeah.
Yeah.
But then at some point, he became one of my favorite people to be around. Like, to the point where my friends be like, yo, you know, he would be in our group text. I'm like, I know, if he was old enough, I'd let him in. But, you know, because he's so funny. And it's so weird. Like, me and Brittany are really tight. But recently, the last year or two, me and Judah has become crazy tight because we like all the same stuff. We watch all the same stuff. Play the same video games. We like the same movies. We like dive into stuff. We talk politics. And I look like he's such a cool kid. That's another thing too, is raising a young man to, you know, he's just a good kid. He's not like, I'm a tough guy and all this other stuff. He's sensitive. He's cool. He has all these different layers. And that's another thing too, is raising a young man to just to take away the stigma of just being the tough guy and being always strong and always this and that. And it's like, that's not realistic. You know what I'm saying? And even with my daughter, it's just her being free is so important to me. Like, yo, do whatever you want to do. You know what I'm saying? And that's, which is another great thing too. You know, I applaud my ex-wife because it's like these kids are cool. Like they could really be spoiled, but they're not like, dude, like if my dad was me, I'd be walking around like, yeah, shoot, we go on so many vacations. They're some real humble, chill kids. And I guess because I grew up in the hood, so it might have been different. Like, so like they were born into it, but I'd have been talking hella crazy to everybody.
Trash.
What y'all do this summer? We went to 5 vacations in 1 summer. What you do?
Oh my gosh.
I would 100% be that kid. I always tell my mom, like, I think God purposely put me where I was because I would have been reckless. I would have been a horrible child to be around. I would have told everyone, like, I got platinum cards. Like, I hang out with Beyonce.
That's what I'm telling you. I'm surprised how humble they are. Like, because I'd be talking crazy. Like, I met Jay-Z. We sat and had a whole conversation. What you do today?
See, I think I'd be worse than you guys because I would be the subtle shade. Like, I'd be like, okay. Oh, yeah, I was just having lunch with Beyonce and not even intentional. Just, it would be the subtle, yeah, I have Gucci shoes on and you guys are going to notice it, but I'm not going to call it out.
They just so cool, man. They so humble. But I love being a dad. Like, I was one of those dudes, like since I was a kid, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I was like, I'm going to get married one day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have kids. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to do comedy. So I've done, like, all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, which is why, like, I'm divorced now. But, like, I'll do it again just because, you know, I look forward to marriage. I mean, it's one of those things you want to do right. Like, damn, but, hey, I'm going to do it one more time. See if I do it right.
We're rooting for you.
Try.
We are.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So Beyonce's Brownson Girl that just won a Grammy came out this summer, and we saw, like, I saw you immediately post your daughter singing and dancing to it, and it was so touching because it was a song for her. It was for her to feel beautiful and for her to see herself. So what did seeing that kind of representation on screen for your daughter mean to you? And how important is that to you?
It's so important. And, you know, not to be like that, like, well, I told Beyonce. But I did thank her for that, though. You know, when Miss Tina hit me up, because they ended up using that little clip in her ABC special. And they're like, yo, Ray. I'm like, oh, Miss Tina, she want to do that? But Beyonce, I just like, it's not even just to talk about her, but she really is a really good person. And she's focused on that. It's very important for her to, like, you know, to make sure every girl, especially girls of color, feel seen. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I love about that song so much. Mm-hmm. Is I love how, like, happy it made her. You know, so when we was just dancing, it was just us naturally doing what we was already doing. But it's, man, you just want to make a little black girl. Like, that's why, like, when Tiffany won her Grammy, me and Tiff was just talking about this. And she wanted, while she was shooting Kids Say the Darnest Things. And to have that conversation and when she spoke to those little girls was just beautiful. And I just, you know, I'm so crazy. I was just talking to Tiff about it. Tiff, I got to stop watching that video because I teared up about 3 times.
I watched it too.
Yeah.
I was bawling.
She was being honest in that moment. And today we FaceTime? Was it last night? Might have been last night. And I was just like, yo, what I love about you is that you're you. I don't care what anybody says about you. I know who you are. I know what your heart is. And I'm so thankful that we're friends. She's just a beautiful person. And just to speak that into those little girls, and you think about all the other little girls that saw her say what she said, just a beautiful thing. I think what I love about the Grammys had some beautiful, just beautiful moments, man. Like, you were like Meg Thee Stallion. I love what, you know, hip hop, like, women run hip hop. Actually, they're making hip hop still be good, actually. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because they out here really spitting lyrics and really doing, like, so, like, it's just fascinating. I think we just had a great time. So I'm proud of all my sisters, especially in this gang, Ava, Issa, Lena, Tiff, all of, like, just, it's so many, Yvonne, it's just so many amazing, black women are dope, man. That's the catalyst of everything. That's who I learned from.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
No, it's so funny. I was watching the Grammys this year with my mom because I'm home for the first time in years because of the pandemic. And yeah. I was saying the same thing. It was such a beautiful ceremony this year. I felt like there was time for all these, like, really raw, real moments that you don't necessarily get the time for, like, in years past, because everyone's trying to rush off the stage. Okay, you got to give your speech. But there was just these really beautiful moments. And I think that was one of them. I'm laughing looking at Amira because Amira's from Houston. So when you started shouting out Meg Thee Stallion and Beyonce, I saw her smirk go up.
No, I saw your Rockets hat. And I was like, Amira, don't do it.
I bought my Akeem Olajuwon jersey. So it's funny. I'm a NBA. I'm a huge basketball fan, huge Olajuwon fan. So I went to the jersey store. I went crazy. Yeah. But I got to match everything. That's the Chicago in me. Like, I can't wear the Houston jersey without the Houston hat. So it's like every day matches.
Right. That is such a black thing, I feel like.
I think it's Chicago because everybody will be mad. Like, these LA people, they just wear anything. Like, I match.
Well, LA's in a different universe. Yeah,
I'm going to put on this sock and I'm gonna... Everything, yeah, you don't know what, like, you literally don't know what the weather is looking at people in LA dress. You look out the window, like, I don't know what the weather is. Oh, mm-hmm.
Well, you mentioned Mama Tina, and I know you've spoken about this before, but I have to ask you. So we know that you have a really great relationship with Mama Tina, and to be honest, everybody deserves a Mama Tina in their lives. I feel like she's my second mom watching her on social media. So just curious, like, what even does a relationship with somebody as amazing as Mama Tina look like? Like, what advice does she give you? How does she support
she's
you?
She's insanely supportive. Mama Tina is, I mean, this is how we met. We really met. We met once, but she don't remember how we first met. But we all saw Black Panther together. Like, EJ, Beyonce. Mm-hmm. I know it's like I'm just, but we all, Miss Tina. And I sit next to Miss Tina, right? Gerard's there. Now, the best of the, I thought it was like a screening, like a regular Hollywood screening. So I invited Hannibal Buress. I didn't know it was private, right? Until I showed up, like, oh, this is a private. Then Hannibal showed up at the door and everybody like, who invited Hannibal? I was like, because Ryan Coogler, like, literally showed us one-on-one. We talked after the movie about it. It was.
Oh, you're flexing now. This is a
but
flex.
I told you.
Please continue.
At the time, I didn't know what I was walking into, right? And I was like, Shaka Pilgrim, who's, you know, works with Jay and good friends with Jay. That's what I thought it was a regular screen. I didn't know it was a screen. I'm like, whoa. Like, when I started walking with the security, I'm like, wait a minute. This is private. Okay. Y'all should have told me this. I ain't never been one of these things. I was scared too. After, like, damn, they ain't going to invite me to nothing else because I brought Hannibal. but no, she sat next to me and we was talking the whole time. And then I got a call out the blue, like, yo, Miss Tina wants you to host her gala. I'm like, she remember me? She's like, I guess she ended up, like, watching stuff after, like, we met and stuff. And just, like, became a fan and a friend, and I hosted the gala, and man, she's been like, and I tell her this all the time. I feel like I was missing something in the mom thing. I wasn't sure what it was. And then Miss Tina came, and, you know, I don't care if it's a text, you know, she showed it to her. I did my screen, you know, my special for Live in Crenshaw, HBO. She was there, and her last gala, she dressed me and my kids. She got all our outfits. She's always, she'll text me every once in a while, like, you're a great dad, proud of you, and stuff like that. So this is like, even before I shot that special, she sent me this prayer. She's like, well, Rael, can I send you this prayer? I used to send these prayers to Kelly and Beyonce before they perform. I'm like, what have you been sending? I'm sending me, you know? And she sent me this beautiful prayer that I read. I remember just in my dressing room by myself over and over, specifically for me. And I always will appreciate that. She's such a, I told her that, I said, you and my mom would have been really good friends. She's such a sweet person. Like, I like the fact that, you know, we look at these super famous people, but they're like, they're legitimately good people, right? And I love that, because everybody ain't nice, you know what I mean? Some people are ugly, but they legit are like really a beauty. Like, and that's why Beyonce has such a beautiful spirit. It's because of Miss Tina. Miss Tina and, you know, and even her dad, like, they did an amazing job. I love Miss Tina. Like, that's family.
That's amazing. Can I just say that we've done our research and we've watched you do interviews and things like that, and the thing that I love about you is that you talk so highly about your circle and how you really created this beautiful community around you of good people. And even when you're mentioning names of like Hannibal and Gerard and all these people, I'm just really impressed, because it's not something that you hear often for anyone that's in Hollywood. So shout out to you for like exuding that good energy, because it's coming back to you tenfold. And I really love that.
I think that's a success. Like, you look at successful people, you know, I'm always impressed by, like, for instance, Issa, what she's created with her team and people she worked with. And then, like, you know, it's the last season of the show, but then, like, watching everybody branch off with deals here and this, that's how you do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, I look at my group of friends, like Gerard, like, you know, Carmichael and Hannibal and Jermaine Fowler, the Lucas brothers, and Michael Che, like, our group text is lit, you know what I mean? But but it's a good group of people who love supporting each other. And it's been a moment, especially the last few months, just even for my friends to think about the Lucas brothers, you know, getting that Oscar nod for Judas and the Black Messiah, and just Jermaine and coming to America. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know, they was hitting me up like, you got Tom and Jerry and this other stuff. Like, no, but it's just seeing these guys, man, who really love on each other. And it's so interesting. Like, I bring up like Jermaine and all those guys. And when I lost my brother, and we were shooting Friends of the People, and it was hard. It was really hard for me. And I, you know, I couldn't write. I couldn't concentrate. We had to write our own sketches with the sketch show we had. And they all stepped up for me, right? They got me. I went back to Chicago to be with my family, and they wrote the sketches I need to get done. And I always love all of them. I'm like, dang, these are some good people. I'm thankful to God that I've been able to. And then even meeting newer good people. You know, I like Ava DuVernay, somebody, man, she's so dope. And she doesn't mind giving you information and give you real advice. And just, and I'm a sponge. So you tell me something, I'm like, I'm listening. So it just, I've been able to be blessed with just not just my circle of friends that are close to me, but like just mentors. Bill Bellamy, Said the Entertainer, you know, all those guys, you know, Bernie Mac. I never met him, but like, I've always felt tied to him. You know, you know, so it's just, I've always been like Mary Lindsay, who owned Jokes and Notes, you know what I mean? Just, it's so many people that's actually been attached to me to how I got to where I'm at. And I'm very grateful for everybody that's helped me do that. It's always fascinating. It's been a funny last few days. That's why I was bringing up Tiff. Me and Tiff, we had these crazy heart-to-hearts. And it's always fucking, she'll start crying. I mean, people don't start crying because I'm in public. I don't want to see me tear up. But it's, we just remember these moments. It's just like, yo, you remember when? And I'm like, dude, you remember when you spoke all this stuff up? It wasn't random. And it's just crazy. It's a crazy blessed time, where I'm glad we're able to celebrate each other too. I don't think Black people felt that freedom in our business before. I think now we're comfortable saying out loud, celebrating each other. And I don't think it was always been that, actually, you know?
Yeah.
You mentioned so many friends in the industry, which is beautiful. Like, I'm so happy. Like, this is like, it's good to see like Black talent boom right now. Mm-hmm. And it kind of reminded me of, we recently spoke to Jay Farrow, and he mentioned and told us a story of how Charlie Murphy was like his mentor and like his mentor for comedy. So I'm wondering, like, who was your mentor? Like, or who was your mentor, and who's your mentor now?
I mean, like I mentioned, like Bill Bellamy was one of them, Said the Entertainer. Cats like, you know, D-Ray was a big part of a lot of stuff I did. He looked out for a lot. You know, Dion Cole. I've had quite a few cats that really mentored me. And then, like, once again, once you, you know, you start to advance, you meet more people, you have even more people that you just trust. And, like, you know, Jerrod Carmichael is younger than me, but he's one of the smartest people I know. So, like, I would ask, like, it's weird. I'd be like, okay, Jerrod, what you think about this? Like, but you know, it's like J.B. Smoove is another, man. He's always been, he's like the first headliner that was really nice to me. So I always like that. JB's one of, I've been like connected to some, and I think, you know, what's interesting, like I remember talking to them about that, and I've heard them say that in interviews about me, but I was always chill. I've never been like an extra person. Like, you know, some people are extra in your face and all that other stuff. I've always been, if I've met somebody, I send the cut, and then they'll usually ask, yo, who's dude? He's cool. Cause I'm not doing too much, you know. Cause sometimes people do too much. Like, hey, look at me, you know. I'm always like, they ready to holler at me. But that's how, like, Sid the Entertainer became that because of that. Like, just real chill. We would just rap. He's been a big part. Like when I did Carmichael's show, I never did a sitcom before. He had me come to the Soul Man set so I could see how that works with rehearsals and different things like that, and giving me advice on how to like talk in front of last to your audience, what the difference is, and. Yeah, so shout out to Sid Entertainer, man. Even when he got a star, he invited me and gave me a shout out. I'm like, that was, you shout me out at your star thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's amazing. Well, outside of comedy, you kind of seamlessly made this transition from stand-up to now film and TV. Like we said before, we are fans of yours, and we know you've done a lot. So some projects of note, like Get Out, Uncle Drew, The Photograph, had a cameo in Judas and the Black Messiah, and now Bad Trip. So wondering kind of what was the transition going from like rom-com to now drama and historical drama, and what shifted in like how you approach these different mediums?
Interesting. I mean, for me, I always try to pick things that I would watch. That's where it starts at. Like, would you watch this movie? You know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I haven't done a movie I wouldn't watch. You know what I mean? So which is why I probably watch most, like The Photograph, I watch a lot. I love that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you.
You said rom-com.
Beautiful.
Issa Rae, it's all the great ingredients that you've mentioned.
It's a beautiful group of people on screen. You know what I mean? Like Tiana, like, oh, she's so, she's killing it too on WandaVision. She's so good.
Yeah.
But that's what's funny too, because a lot of times it's me envisioning who I want to work with. You know, with her, I saw her, I think it was, I forgot what I saw her in. I was like, I got to work with her one day. You know what I mean? Hey, that's going to be my wife or something.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, but that's funny that we ended up, because I literally spoke that out loud and that's what ended up happening. But, you know, I'm really selective about it. And then, like, I've gotten even more strategic about it because I don't want to be put in a box.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see me do a Judas and the Black Messiah and, you know, a Bird Box or Uncle Drew or just all the next five movies coming out, they're all different. You know what I'm saying? So I try to like, and now like I got my team now, like looking at dramas. I'm like, yo, I want to do like three dramas straight. I want to do something dark.
You got the range.
But that's the fun part about acting. Like the cats I look up to, you know, like I said, Eddie Murphy is one of, but Robin Williams is one of my favorite actors of all time because of his range, man. He was able to he's hysterical, silly, but he can pull you in and get those tears. Like that's what I want to do. I want to be able to like pull people in different ways, which is why like I'm excited about the next few movies. You guys, like Bad Trip is a great movie. It's hysterical. I think it's the funniest. Did y'all see it yet?
Yes.
It's just crazy. It's so funny to me. It's like if you like movies like Dumb and Dumber and stuff like that, where it's just insanity. That's what this is.
Okay, I was talking to Amira about this before the interview. It is totally my type of comedy. It is like The Hangover meets White Chicks meets a little bit of some extra special sauce that I can't put my finger on. It was hilarious. Before we get into Bad Trip, I do want to ask you really quickly. Okay, we've seen you on screen now with like Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield a few times. Like, it's almost like the magic trio at this point. What was it like to be reunited with those two?
It was great, actually, if I could be really honest. Going on set, it's just, you know, it's funny. It feel like the Get Out group. We're like this weird, unique group of people because we didn't know what that was going to be. And all of us did that movie just really like, all right, we're going to kill all these white people and this is going to be what it is. like, people don't love it or don't hate it. I don't know. But it's just this beautiful relationship with these guys. Like when we on set together, if I see Daniel, it's pure happiness right away. You know what I'm saying? If I see Lakeith, same thing. And watching these brilliant actors in their process too is really cool to watch. But like it's with family, man. Like it's crazy that from a film you could be all become friends, and that's what happened. And you know, man, it's such a beautiful moment. Judas and the Black Messiah represent so many things outside of telling Fred Hampton's story, which I, you know, not the full story, but you know, honestly, mm-hmm. the one we should talk about is them murdering a 21-year-old who didn't do anything but try to do all the right thing. But it's all good.
Exactly.
But you know, to do that with these guys, and then it's another Oscar nominated movie we in, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It is crazy.
You guys did that.
The casting was crazy, and just it's the specific story that I'm proud of the Academy for recognizing this. Because sometimes they run away from certain stories if it ain't this or that. And I'm like, nah, you can't run from this. This is what it is. And it's a masterpiece. Shaka King. But the Lucas Brothers was working on this when we was doing our sketch show. I was like, why y'all doing all this Fred Hampton research?
Wow.
Yeah. Straight up. It's the honest God truth. I was like, why are they doing all this? We used to have our desks next to each other in our office where we was right. And I was like, why y'all but they would research random stuff anyway sometimes. That's just who Lucas Brothers is. But I'm like, why y'all doing all this Fred Hampton research, man? But yeah, and it turned out to be this. And I'm like, wow. I'm like so proud of my friends, man. And but Daniel and Lakeith are just, oh, they're so brilliant. And to see them just continue to kill it. It's crazy when your friends are some of your favorite actors, man. Like, love watching it.
Yeah, that's a flex.
When your whole team can win. And like you love them like as a talent, that's beautiful. Like it's so exciting to see a crew win constantly.
Mm-hmm. It's such a cool group of dudes, man. You know, and I love those brothers. Like me and Lakeith randomly saw each other at the Grove maybe like a couple weeks ago. It was just like, you know, we got the mask on. It's like, you know, because you don't know who anybody is. Like, real. And but we were just so happy to see because none of us have seen each other since the movie's been out. So it was just like very well needed hug from a friend, just like fam. Dude, literally, that's what we said. It was like looking at each other, like, fam, Jude, bruh.
You
know what you did.
Yes.
You keep, like, it was crazy.
So, Bad Trip on Netflix, guys.
Yes.
What's the biggest, like, challenge or highlight you've had working on this film that you've never experienced before?
Where do I start? Because doing a prank movie, man, it's another level, man. Outside of the, we don't know how anybody's going to react to anything.
Yes.
You have to stay in character. Like, you really, once you get on set and out, it ain't no coming back to Lil Rel, it's Bud Malone, because that's the only way this is going to work. You know what I mean? So, you literally have to become who you're playing. And I think we just did a great job at that. The people, though, their reactions were so real and so dope. And that's what made it, honestly, they're the stars of the movie. We kind of just filled in the blanks. But it was, I'm proud of Eric Andre, man, which is, once again, another one of my good friends, which is why I did the movie. But, you know, it's like, bro, hopefully this levels him up too, man, because I think he's brilliant. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love Eric Andre.
So smart.
So good.
And he's crazy. Like, if you're going to be that crazy, you need to be a super, super star. Yeah. You do all this crazy stuff. But it's so, I'm proud of that brother, man. He wrote and did some really dope. This movie, the movie also, too, weirdly enough, it does show a lot of humanity in it because people were really, it was people trying to help us. And I thought that was fascinating too, because you think most people, like, it was some people angry, like when we had the little traps, it was some people like, we're walking, like, man, they better not say nothing to me. You know what I mean? Like, because that irritated people to a level I didn't think it would bother people just because, you know, we was connected like that. They're like, what the hell is that? You know, it's like, I don't know. I'm excited for people to see this because I think people need a good hard laugh too. And that's what this is. It's like,
it's hilarious. It's really funny.
It's the laugh that we deserve.
We do deserve.
It's the laugh that we deserve after last year.
Lorel, can you give a brief synopsis of what the film's about?
Yeah, it's about two best friends taking a trip across country because Chris, played by Eric Andre, some girl he always had a crush on and like, he thinks it's more than what it is. So we decided to take this trip and, you know, every place we go to, something ensues, right? That's why all these pranks happen at, you know, which is crazy to talk about dialogue in this because, like, it is a prank movie, but it is dialogue in it, like, which is why, like, scenes like with us on the bus and us talking out, the prank is us talking loud, right? People are like, why they talking so loud? I hear that. Why they best friends? What happened? So yeah, it is this two friends go cross country and just craziness ensues. That's why it's tough to give a synopsis to this movie without giving away stuff, right? That's what it is. So it's a prank movie. It's funny. Just watch it.
Watch it. It is so funny. You will be laughing your behind off. I promise that.
So we have one more segment. We love to play a game, and I'm passing to Kirby to set it up.
Sure. Okay, so we like to play a little game. It's called Truth or Cheers, where we will ask you a series of questions. And if you can answer as truthfully as possible, and if you'd like to pass on the opportunity, just say cheers and we will cheers for you. So the first question is, who would you rather be stuck on a desert island with? Daniel Kaluuya, Lakeith Stanfield, or your girl Tiffany Haddish?
Tiffany Haddish.
Why?
Because she's funny and we've known each other the longest. I mean, look, I feel like Daniel, like, at some point scared me, I guess. Like, if we've been on there too long, he just started, like, looking crazy. And Keith probably lose his damn mind. So, like, I don't know. I have to just be, Tiffany's going to make me laugh, but at least we're going to be entertained.
Fair enough.
Okay, if you could have any superpower in the world, what would it be?
I don't know, man. Like, I'd rather be, like, well, there's two things. Because I wear glasses, maybe, like, the vision stuff. Like, I can see stuff. But I can finally see. But I think I want strength. I just want to do strong stuff. Like, just be able to just pick stuff up and throw it. And, yeah, strength. Super strength.
Toss it.
Okay. You have to do a comedy show only using jokes from a peer. Whose comedic library would you choose? Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor, or Dave Chappelle?
Eddie Murphy. Hands down, Eddie Murphy. Hands down. Eddie, you know, especially, you know, storyteller, character. Well, I mean, Richard is but Eddie's my guy. So, yes, Eddie Murphy.
Do you have a favorite Eddie Murphy character?
There's been quite a few. You know what's funny? That's why, you know, I'm a fan. It's two characters that nobody really talks about. One is the one he did on SNL. He did this, it was like this poetry slam at this jail, and he did this poem called Kill My Lover. He's like, C-I-L-L. He did like this weird, it's real funny. And then on one of his comedy albums, he does, I forgot which box he does. Oh, I can't think of his name, but it's so funny, man. It's such a funny, like, you can type it on YouTube, like Eddie Murphy boxing. And he talks about, I don't know what show it was, but man, he talks about Mike Tyson, and he talks about the other box. He said, man, this dude is a sore loser. And he just started talking about, like, forget the judges. You know, just, but Eddie just goes into the voices, man. Like, that's somebody that, and I'm going to say it one more time. That's literally, I cannot wait to work with Eddie. That's my top of my bucket list on who I need to do something with is Eddie Murphy. I just want to sit down and talk to him, actually. I just have a real conversation with him.
It's going to happen.
Which other little in the entertainment industry would you swap lives with for one day? Lil Bow Wow, Lil Baby, or Lil Wayne?
Cheers. No. It would be Lil Bow Wow. Let me tell you why. I just want to see what this brother's doing, right? Like, what are you doing? Like, what I want to go inside his brain. Like, what do you do? What do you think of yourself? Who do you think you are? Like, what goes to your mind daily? What, like, you know what I mean? Like, what fair. Random Lil Bow Wow and Ray J are the two people that I just want to know what they're, but they, like, what are y'all thinking? What are y'all doing?
I agree.
That's so funny, but I know exactly what you mean. Oh, this is a sweet one. So you get to pass on one characteristic of your own down to your daughter and your kids. Which trait of yours do you hope they receive?
That's a good one. Well, you know something? I don't know if it's a trait, but like, I just want them to extremely believe in their dreams like I have. I don't know what you call that, but...
Freedom.
Yeah, I've always been confident to just do whatever... Which I think that was passed down. Like, dream big. I want them to take that care. Like, really, I don't think it's nothing I can't do. And I want them to have that same mindset. Real tough.
That's a gift because not everyone has that.
That's a word.
Okay, we end every episode with the same question for our guest. And it is, if you could fill in the blank, I love being black because.
That's a great one. I love being black because, I mean, we are powerful people. You know what I mean? Like, being black means a lot. Like, we've... Especially being an African-American, more than anything. Yo, we've opened so many doors up. I mean, it's a reason why people could come here and be in our movies and sell their music and open businesses and do it. Like, it's just no matter what's been thrown at us, we've been able to still bounce back. And that's a lot. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we don't think about it, but like all, even just now, all the things we have to go through, but we still rise to the occasion. And that's what being Black is. And then just being a chocolate brother, I love my skin color. I love how I look. I love this.
Yes.
This is just what it is, you know? And you know, Black is beautiful, man. That's all, more than anything. But yeah. I don't know if I over-answered it, but...
No, that was perfect.
That was needed.
Yeah. Thank you so, so much. We do this all the time, but we do want to say that we are so proud of you. Continue doing what you're doing. Continue to float through life in the way that you are and keep that same energy in terms of knowing that you can achieve anything you put your mind to. We loved Bad Trip. I'm going to actually watch it again. It's definitely going to be kind of another end of the week watch for me because I was crying laughing. So well done.
Laughing in between meetings, which I was like, this is a problem. I have to work.
Exactly. But thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me, ladies. Thank you.
The Table is Ours is produced by us, Kirby Dixon and Amira Lawali. This episode was also produced by McKamey Lynn and Richard White and edited by Melissa Kaplan. Our researcher is Emma Fredericks. Our executive producers are Jesse Katz and Ted Butler. The Table is Ours was created by A&E. Subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. See you next week.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation.
Partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.